Look for us to the book of Luke, chapter 7. Luke chapter 7, and we're going to begin reading somewhere around verse 36. And when you found it, just please say, I got it.
I got it.
Amen. And it reads on this order. I'll be reading from the NIV version. But now, one of the Pharisees invited Jesus to have dinner with him. So he went to the Pharisee's house and reclined at the table. And when a woman who had lived a sinful life in that town learned that Jesus was eating at the Pharisee's house, she brought an alabaster jar of perfume, and she stood behind him at his feet weeping. And she began to wet his feet with her tears. And then she wiped them with her hair, kissed them, and poured perfume on them. And when the Pharisees, who had been invited, saw this, he said to himself, if this man was a prophet, he would know who's touching him and what kind of woman she is, and that she is a sinner. I'm going to stop reading right there. And I want to use for a subject this morning, don't let it. Tell somebody it. I don't know what your it is, but don't let it stop you. Don't let it stop you. We realize that God is an all-seeing and an all-knowing God. And there is nothing that escapes his knowledge nor slips by his perception. I can't think of anything that God doesn't know. And you can't do anything that God does not even see. He sees what we've done. He knows what we're doing. Watch this. He even knows some of the things that we want to do. Amen. And there's a statement in Revelations 2 and 3 that was made to the seventh church. He says, now, I know your works. In other words, what God is trying to tell you is, I know all about the stuff that you think don't nobody know nothing about. That's what he's saying. And I believe he's talking to every believer in the body of Christ. And I come to tell you this morning, first of all, quit trying to hide, because he knows. But there is something that's more awesome than the fact that God knows. Not only does he know our works, but he knows what's inside of us. Amen. That tells me he knows what's in us that hadn't come out yet. Amen. And see, believe it or not, there's some good in all of us. Think about a Tootsie Roll. You lick on the outside and you keep on licking. And after a while, you realize that there's something good on the inside. And before you know it, you crunch that Tootsie Roll up in order to get what's on the inside. And right now, all of our lives are kind of callous and hard on the outside. But God knows what's on the inside. That's what he did. He said, greater is he that is in me than he that's in the world. He knows our tomorrow. Knows what we're gonna do. He calls out and tries to change us from even doing some things that we should not do. Because he knows what's within us, whether it's good or whether it's bad, whether it's godly or whether it's ungodly. God knows what's inside of us. Now, I don't know about you, but sometimes it bothers me that God knows. Maybe it don't bother you. It bothers me that God knows what's inside of me. He knows our intentions. Now John put it this way. He said, Jesus knows all men. And he knew that what was in man. And Jesus didn't, nor does he need to be told by anybody what's in us. Many times we want to talk to God about people. Y'all ever done that? But talk about how bad you've been mistreated. Well, let me tell you, when you get to heaven, you ain't got to waste your time by talking about when I get to heaven, I'm going to tell God how they lied on me. He know it before you get to heaven. See, I ain't got time to waste on that kind of junk, because God is an all-knowing God. He's an all-seeing God. So I don't have to tell God anything, because he already knows. We want to tell him, but watch this. Usually when we want to tell God about people, we want to tell him about how bad they are and how much better we are than them. Amen. And whether this person is meeting up to our standard. But there are three scriptures that reveal to us that God knows what's in man. And we judge by seeing what comes out of man. But he knows what's in man. And he don't need you to tell him how low down somebody else is. And though it's always wrong, listen to this now, it's wrong to be judgmental toward anybody, whether they right or whether they wrong. Now, the Bible says that God knows the heart of man, and it's evil. And then Paul even said, I told this the other week, when I would do good, evil is always present on every hand. And he says, now the thing that I shouldn't do, guess what, God, I find myself doing them. But you know what, I'm thankful to God that God knows what's on the inside. See, the problem is, we see people withdraw from us and withdraw from relationships and withdraw from friendships, and we don't have any idea of what those folk are going through. See, the truth is, you can't rightly judge anybody because you don't know what's inside them. For a lot of folk, at some point in life, and I had never thought about this, but at some point in life, a seed of sorrow was sown in their lives. Then they began to cry at night, and the tears began to water those seeds of sorrow. And then they produce what we call disappointment. And see, then after we become disappointed, then the root of resentment and bitterness begins to take hold. They are living with a tree inside them that's just full of turmoil and troubling them. And before long, things begin to grow out of control. For other folk, there was a seed that was sown. And through failed attempts, I tried to resist temptation. I tried to stop from forming habits. I tried to stop from addiction, but it seemed like my addictions grew. And before long, it seemed like our lives were filled with failure. Felt like sometimes you were on a merry-go-round, revolving cycle. And as the life cycle began to turn, You begin to look at and see the past pains, the past regrets, the things that you had done in your past. And you're ready to say, God, I'm not worthy. But God said, child, I know what's in you. And that's what matters. I don't know where it was that we took the wrong turn, or maybe we got off the track somewhere. But we got to remember that God knows everything that's in us. And even though he knows about my past, he still invites me and saying, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Now, if you look in the word, he didn't say, now all you folk that think you good, come unto me. He said, but all have sinned and come short of his glory. And so when you begin to look at yourself in the mirror, you understand then that I'm included in that all. But still, don't you stop. We got to remember that God cares. And you know what? He doesn't care about where you've been. He doesn't care about what you've done. But the only thing he cares about is that he cares and he wants you to come to him. Now, anybody here right now ever been at a point in your life where you felt like you just couldn't even come to Jesus? Don't y'all look at me like you quiet. You ain't been in church all your life. God is saying, come on, in spite of whatever you done. Now, man don't treat you that way. See, in this life, once we do something wrong and we develop a label, man wants to keep that label on you forever. He ain't no good. I remember when, and I know he used to, but remember that used to was a rooster, and it could have been used to, because everybody in here is an ex something. Guess what, God, think about this. He don't care what's in you. He's not looking for you to get cleaned up before you come. You ever heard folks say, I got to get myself straight, then I'm going to come to church. Well, he's not looking for you before you come. He's saying, come just like you are. And let him wash you and make you clean. And then God will begin to transform you from the inside out. And then you will become a new creature through the power of his touch. See the difference. Let me tell you about man got this thing all backwards. I'm trying to get through. We want folk to come to church and we would do it kind of wrongly. We want to clean them up from the outside. We want to make sure that they got on a black suit and a tie. You can take that tie and throw it in the river as far as I'm concerned. And we want to make sure that they got on what we call church clothes. Ain't no such thing as church clothes. Go in the store and say, I'm looking for some church clothes. And you won't find any section labeled. See, it don't matter what you look like. And that's the problem in church today, is that all churches is too many folk that ain't nothing but a paint job. Y'all missed that. See, a paint job is folk that look like Christians. They talk like Christians. They dress like supposedly Christians supposed to dress. And you'll find out that ain't nothing to them. All right. God said, let me clean you from the inside out. And as we look at this text, as I wind this thing up, we see a woman. First of all, she's a sinner. Coming to Jesus, but watch this. She's worshiping him without being ashamed. She didn't care who was there. She didn't care who was watching. She didn't care what they said, he said, she said that they might have said. She didn't care about who had inconvenienced. And she didn't care about how embarrassing it might have been. The truth is that when she came to the dinner, she was there for Jesus. Watch this. And nothing and nobody else mattered. But the problem was, she was sitting in the Pharisees' house. Now, let me break this down. The Pharisees were the religious folk. Amen. And they knew the scripture real well. And they took pride, in fact, too much pride in themselves, because when you read over in Luke chapter 7 and Luke chapter 11, you'll discover that the Bible says that these folk love to sit in high places and sit up in front because of what their titles were. But see, God ain't studying your title. The only thing God wants you to do is just say, Lord, have mercy upon me, a sinner. Then the Bible says that this unknown woman came in the house and where Jesus was, and she stood before him weeping, and she began to wash his feet with her tears, and then she began to dry his feet with her hair. Then she began to kiss his feet. Then she anointed them with a box of ointment that's called the alabaster box. And she began to anoint Jesus with what she brought with her. And this was probably one of the greatest acts of worship. And this sometimes causes me to have to disagree with some things that we have traditionally said. We said that you have to know him in order to worship him. But here it was, and the Bible said that this woman was a sinner. And she began to wipe his feet with her hair, kiss his feet right out in front of everybody. And you know what I said? Lord, give me a church full of worshipers just like this woman. See, we got too many religious acting folk. First of all, look at the three things about this woman. Number one, she was uninvited. See, if you're looking for Jesus, ain't nobody got to invite you to the house. You'll find your way to the house. She wasn't on the guest list. And she was somebody that the religious folk really didn't want to come because she wasn't one of them high society church folk. Amen. In fact, when she came in, they probably turned around and looked at her and said, what's she coming here for? Y'all ever seen any church folk do that? What they coming here for? Amen. And every now and then, help me somebody, God needs to send us people who make us uncomfortable. You need to take off some of these ties and shirts and shoes because it's stopping you from being able to worship. And see, it's real worship when folk are willing to bow down at the feet of you and say, God, I'm going to worship you, and I don't care who sees me. I don't care what they say. They can laugh at me, but Lord, I worship you because of who you are. She was unintimidated. She wouldn't let the religious hierarchy keep her from her goal, which was to worship Jesus. Their stares didn't stop her. Their turning up their noses didn't stop her. And all she wanted to do was to worship. And as she began to worship, the whispers began to break out. And she was not intimidated by these folks' religion, by their program, because she came for one purpose. Nothing was on her mind and heart but Jesus. And third thing, she was unstoppable. Watch this. There's a Pharisee, as you read on down this, by the name of Simon. And Simon, you know, sometimes we get so religiously astute and smart that we think that we know everything. Sometimes we think we're smarter than God because you got a title. I'm going to leave that alone. But now, Simon said within himself, if Jesus had really been a prophet, he would have known that this was a sinner that was touching him. But see, Jesus knew what was inside that woman, and he knew what was inside of Simon as well. And while he was reasoning this out within himself, Jesus came to Simon and said, now look, Simon, there were two debtors who were both forgiven. And the debt, and the lesson is that the one that had the larger debt would have a greater love than the one that had the smaller debt who was forgiven. And during all of this conversation, the woman kept on worshiping. You know, sometimes when we come to church, we begin to worship, and the church folk begin to whisper, you know, it don't take all this, it don't take all that. You don't know what it takes for me. I came to get my praise on. Now, all thing I need you to do is get out my way. She kept on worshiping. She would not be stopped. That would have stopped a whole lot of folk. But watch this. But the most important thing, I got a church full of folk this morning that sometimes we will allow things to stop us from worshiping. Amen. Am I right? Amen. Hey, don't ouch. If you can't say it, just say ouch. But look, watch this. She did not even let sin stop her. A lot of times when people fall, the first thing we do is run from church and we run from God. This woman had a past, a sinful reputation, but she did not let this stand in the way of her worship. Right. Now, somebody here this morning, you might have failed God miserably. You might have given in to a particular sin. Could be a slip up. Could be something that you just do over and over and over again. But whatever it is, y'all didn't expect to hear this, did you? Whatever it is, tell somebody whatever it is. Don't let it stop you. See, there's not a person in here that hasn't sinned since you've been saved.
All right.
And the difference is that some run from God and some run to God. Now, I don't care what you've done. If you understand that the grace of God and that his forgiveness is unfailing, and that sin will actually motivate you to get yourself to Jesus. Don't let it stop you. Go ahead and pour out the praise. Because even though you might be living in sin, you know that if it had not been for the Lord on your side, where would you be right now? And most of all, she did not let the so-called saints stop her. You see, this Pharisee sat in judgment of her actions, and some folk get intimidated when folk in the church know about your past. I don't give a hooly hoot what you know. The only thing I know is that I met a man by the name of Jesus, and he was able to tell me everything that I did, and if God forgives me, I don't care what you holy rollers think. The Pharisee, the religious man, sitting up, and I can see him sitting up with his chest poked out and saying, I can't believe Jesus is allowing a woman like that to put his hands on her. But see, right now, somebody here needs a touch from the master. And this religious man said, well, Jesus must not be no prophet. But see, Jesus knew this woman. He knew her sin. But you know what? He also knew that this woman was sincere in her worship. He even scolded Simon for not treating him just like this woman. Now watch this. See that right here in Gadsden, Alabama. Don't get mad at me because your worship service is dead. And you want to question about it don't take all that? How you know what it takes? See, the Bible says, let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. And while you're sitting around judging, you ought to be praising. And see, it's impossible to do both of them at the same time. But the Bible says, judge not that you be not judged. Because watch this, the same way you judge other folk, that's where God gonna put the measuring stick up on you. So the best thing I can do, I recommend to you this morning, is say, God, have mercy upon me, a sinner. But see, God, please be patient with me, because God is not through with me yet. But see, when God gets through with me, I shall come forth as pure gold. Too many people looking at back when. But I've come to the conclusion to realize that it doesn't matter who knows what, who's sitting around to judge. Too many people just want to sit at the religious table, but they don't want to be touched by him. And this morning, I need a touch. Whatever it is, don't let it stop you. It's not what's on the outside, but it's what's on the inside that really counts. And as I get ready to go to my seat this morning, can I tell you a story? They say early one Sunday morning, it was getting around church time, then a peculiar smell came over the community. Somebody said it smelled like smoke. Then you could look up and you could see smoke up in the sky. Then I can see the chairman of the deacon board say, it smells like something's burning. He said, I better hurry and make sure everything is all right at the church. Then next, I see the choir president come along. And she said, I hope those folk be all right. But I gotta go, because I gotta lead a song and song service this morning. And then about that time, the good old pastor came along and he saw some smoke coming from a shack across the track. Then I can hear that pastor saying, I bet those folk been smoking and drinking all night long and done started a fire down there. They should have been getting ready to come to church. Well, they went on to church. And about that time, the deacon began to lead a hymn. He says, a charge to keep I have, a God to glorify. Then about that time, the praise and worship leader began to sing her song. And folk began to shout. Then a little bit later, the pastor began to preach, and he preached like it was preaching was going out of style. Then about that time, I saw three folk come in the back of the church and down the aisle and said, Pastor, if you don't mind, I got a testimony that I want to share with everybody. She said, now, my name is Sister Smith. You may not know me because I'm not high on your society list, and I don't have a whole lot of money to give in church. And yes, I used to have a path in my life, but said early this morning, tell somebody early, she said, my house caught on fire and went up in flames. Said, I cried for help because my baby was trapped inside. I cried, but nobody came to my rescue. Then I dropped on my knees and I said, God, send me some saved folk by here to help me to save my baby. And then one man stopped by. Y'all might call him a bootlegger. Then another man stopped by. You might call him a drug dealer. But all I can tell you is that they went in that house. They pulled my baby out that house. And I just came to say, I knew that Jesus would send me a real friend. See, it's not on the outside, but it's what's on the inside that matters. I'm not all that I ought to be, but I thank God for saving me. I thank God for reaching way down and peeling me up out of miry clay. And right now, don't let it stop you. Don't let it stop you. Why do I not let it stop me? See, I got some debt that I can't afford to pay. But a long time ago, way back on a hill called Calvary, Jesus paid it all to him I owe. sin had left a crimson stain. But he washed me, he washed me, he washed me, he washed me white as snow. I don't care what you say. I've got to praise God. I've got to worship God. I can't let folk stop me from worshiping God. And see, I've come too far to turn back now. See, if it had not been for the Lord on my side, where would I be right now? And I tell you, can't nobody point fingers at you, because all I can say is it was grace that brought me saved this far. And grace will lead me home. See, right now, I realize how far God has brought me. And I've made up in my mind that I won't let nothing and nobody stop me from giving God my praise. See, the devil, you can't throw up my past, because see, there's a man by the name of Jesus that writes the scripture, and the script has already been written that says I was but lost in sin. But Jesus, can anybody say Jesus? Can anybody say Jesus lifted me? Anybody here felt that you didn't deserve to come in here and worship God, but say, God, here I am. Take me, mold me, make me, clean me up, make me who you'd have me to be. I know you don't think I'm much, but I tell you, I am somebody, because God don't make no junk. Hey, say yeah, say yeah, oh yeah. Anybody know he's all right? Anybody know he's all right? Anybody know he's all right? Anybody say, I was tore up from the floor up. Thought I wasn't going to be able to worship. Thought I wasn't going to be able to worship. But then Jesus, 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 he lifted me. He lifted me. Not going to let you stop me. Not going to let nobody stop me. Not going to let nobody stop me. I got to get my praise on, because the Lord's been good to me. The Lord's been good to me. Has he been good to you? Has he been good to you? Somebody say, yeah. 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 He's all right. Don't let it stop you. Don't let it stop you. Paul said, there's a thorn in my flesh. And sometimes God don't remove the thorn, but he makes us have to live with the thorn.
All right. All right.
And after a while, see, all things work together for the good of them that are called according to his purpose. And I said, God, why is it that it seems like I keep going 3 steps forward, 3 steps backwards, 3 steps forward, 3 steps backwards? And then God showed me, he said, you know what? If I allowed you to go 5 steps forward, then you might get like these Pharisees and think you were better than everybody else. So right now, God removes me from my sin, but he lets me live close enough to my sin to let me know that it ain't, I ain't made it that far yet. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Somebody ought to shout hallelujah this morning. Somebody ought to shout hallelujah this morning. Don't stop. Don't stop. Tell somebody, don't stop. Don't stop. Don't stop. Tell somebody, don't stop. Don't stop. Yeah. I feel all right now. Anybody feel all right this morning? Somebody said, I've had some good days. I've had some hills to climb. Anybody had some mountains in your life? But see, when I look back over my life, I won't I can't complain. He's all right. Somebody said, I've been through the storm and the rain. Has anybody been through the storm? Has anybody been through the rain? But I can say, Lord, I made it. I made it. I made it. I was talked about, but I made it. I made it. Tell somebody, I made it. They said I wasn't gonna be here, but I made it.
Can you testify this morning that you made it? Can you say, I made it? I made it. I made it. Yeah. He's all right. He's all right. He's all right. God is all right. Even when I fall down, even when I come short, he says, come on, my child, I'm with you. I'm with you. I'm with you. See, I made it. I made it. Somebody ought to shout, I made it. I made it. I made it. Yeah. Yeah. He's all right. Come on, Brenda. Tell somebody that you've been through this. Anybody been through the storm and the rain? Can you really say that you've been through the storm and the rain? I'm not talking about a toy, but have you ever? Thought you wasn't going to make it, didn't you? Come on, baby.
I've been through the storm and the rain.
Yeah.
Oh, I made it.
I made it.
I've had many heartaches and pain.
Oh, can you say you made it? Can you say you made it?
Sometimes I couldn't see my way through, but I made it.
I made it.
Oh, hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Oh, thank you, Jesus. Oh,
yeah.
I made it. Have you been through some storms in the rain? You ought not be ashamed to tell somebody, I made it.
Can you say you made it?
Sometimes you couldn't see your way through. Oh, you made it. So many turned their back on you, but when I see Jesus, yeah. Amen.
Amen.
When I see the one who died for me,
yeah.
The one who keep making a way for me,
yeah.
The one who keep looking out for me, yeah. Amen. All of my trouble. All of my tribulation, yeah. Will soon be over. When I see Jesus, yeah. When I see, yeah. Jesus, when I see, yeah. Jesus, hey, 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 amen.
Somebody, he's worthy.
He's worthy.
Anybody know he's worthy?
Yeah.
Anybody be been through the storm and the rain. But I made it. Yeah. I made it. I made it. Tell somebody, I made it. Hallelujah.
All right. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.
Will there be one today that says, God, I'm ready.
All right.
I know it's not what's on the outside, but it's what's on the inside.
All right.
And become worshipers like this woman that said, God, I love you so much that I know I'm tore up, but God, I just want to just anoint your feet.
Yeah.
I know that I hadn't been good all my life. But Lord, I want to worship you. I want to worship you. I want to worship you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We praise God for His Spirit this morning.
Yes, Lord.
Let's bow our heads. Father God.